Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The word that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. I'm pretty excited today because, as probably most of you know, yesterday was the 100-year anniversary of the first apparition in Fatima, Our Lady of Fatima. And it has kind of brought up in me a new love for the message of Fatima, especially to pray the rosary daily. And I could go on and on probably for like an hour today, but I've got to keep my homily short. So I want to begin by just encouraging you to read up on Our Lady of Fatima. The diocese has on the website a wonderful synopsis on everything, all of the children, the visionaries, the message, the secrets of that were given to the children. There's so many things. Bishop has produced a video yesterday and released that, and he's going to release a new video on the 13th of every month. And there's a lot of things that are going to be happening in our diocese to celebrate the 100-year anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima. I do want to try to tie in the readings that we have for today with the Fatima message. And so when we look at the first reading, we hear really it's about social justice. It's about the needs of widows being met. And so there's a need that we have to reach out to people around us who are in need. And not one of us can sit in this church and give honor and praise to God and neglect someone who is in need in the community or in the neighborhood. And so we have an obligation to reach out to those around us in need. And so we hear in this first reading the institution of the diaconate. You know, it's a shout out to Deacon Billy here in the sanctuary. The response was the priests were going out and feeding the widow, but in order to do so, they were neglecting their prayer, they were neglecting preaching of the word because they were doing this social justice. And so they said, it's not right that we neglect the word of God, we need help. And so they instituted the diaconate, where the deacons would go and bring communion or meet the needs of those widows around them. But I want to just emphasize that we have an obligation as Christians to reach out to those in need. So that's the first point. And then we see in the second reading, St. Paul talks about a royal priesthood, that we're part of this royal priesthood, and that by our baptism, we are called to offer sacrifices and prayers for the sanctification of the whole world. That when you are baptized as priest, prophet, and king. So the priest put chrism oil on your head, and he anointed you priest, prophet, and king. And so as king, you're called to use your resources for the building of the church. As a prophet, you're called to proclaim the good news. And as priest, you're called to sanctify your life and to sanctify the world. And so we are called to offer sacrifices, penances. We're called to offer prayers for the sanctification of the world. And this was the Fatima message, that we were called to pray and to do penance for the conversion of the world. And, you know, Paul in one of his letters says this beautiful thing. He talks about, this beautiful phrase. He says, we make up in our sufferings what's lacking in the sufferings of Christ. And all of my Protestant friends, when I was in college in North Carolina, I had a lot of Baptist friends. They were like, you know, they didn't know what to make of that scripture passage. And a lot of them have heard the prosperity gospel that, you know, Jesus suffered so I don't have to. And all you have to do is have faith. And the Catholic understanding of that is that we are called to do penance, to suffer for the salvation and conversion of the world. That Jesus allows us to unite our sufferings to his. And over again in the Fatima message, we see the children doing just that, uniting the sufferings that they endured for the conversion and salvation of the world. St. Paul says, do you not realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And most people, when they hear that, they think, oh, my body is like a house, and the Holy Spirit comes inside and is inside of this house. But I don't know necessarily that that's exactly what St. Paul meant, because the word temple is a highly charged word. And there were many, many, many synagogues all over the Holy Land. And the synagogues is where you went and you heard the Old Testament proclaimed, and you heard rabbis preach and teach. But there's only one place where sacrifices were offered, and that was the temple. You went to the temple to offer a sacrifice. And so by St. Paul saying, do you not realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, meaning that we can offer sacrifices for, you know, through our bodies to God, unite them to Jesus for the conversion, for the salvation of the world. And that's an important thing that we should play a part in. And so Bishop Olmsted is very excited about this 100-year anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, and he intends on the 13th of October to consecrate the Diocese of Phoenix to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, something that has not been done. Tucson Diocese was, but the Diocese of Phoenix, split away. It hadn't been formally consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. He's encouraging not only the diocese that we're going to do this, but every one of our families and every one of our parishes, that we make an act of consecration of our homes, our families, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. When we look at the apparitions of Mary throughout the world, there's been so many of them. If you were to Google, look up apparitions of Blessed Mother, I wouldn't doubt that you would find hundreds. I mean, you've got like the big ones that the church has formally recognized. We have Lourdes, Akita, we have the Fatima, we have Our Lady of Guadalupe, so many different apparitions. And what does it tell us? That God, Jesus, our Blessed Mother, is intimately interested in our history and in helping us, and over again, give us the tools, which have always been prayer and penances for our own conversion and for the conversion of the world. And so this is not a new message, but it is a strong encouragement. The three children, Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia, they ranged in age from 7, 9, and 10, I believe, very young children. And so it's interesting, you know, how God uses the weak or the small and brings about these great big things through them. And they show, I think, heroic faith if you read their history. Francisco was a very meek young boy. He never got into fights. He had a favorite handkerchief that had an image of the Blessed Mother on the handkerchief. Somebody took it from him and contested that it was his. Rather than fight for it, he gave it to that person and offered up that sacrifice. And that was the kind of person that Francisco was. Blessed Mother told him that he would go to heaven, but that he was going to die shortly. And he had heroic courage. At the age of 7, he was shown a vision of hell. And he said the reason why they didn't die of fright was because the Blessed Mother assured them of their destination was that they were going to go to heaven. And 2 years after the apparitions, Francisco contracted the influenza and was suffering greatly, yet he never complained. He offered up all of those sufferings, uniting them to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for the salvation of the world. And he died at peace. And people asked him where the courage came from. He says, I know I'm going to heaven. What do I got to worry about? And isn't that what Jesus says in this gospel today? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, and I prepared a place for you. What are you worried about this world for? You're going to go to heaven. And so the same message is for us. We shouldn't be afraid. If we are trusting in God, we look to Jesus as our Savior. We should have nothing to fear. We should all be courageous in living out our faith day by day. And so the children were shown various things by the Blessed Mother in the form of secrets that have progressively been revealed. They were shown a vision of hell. They were shown images from the future and what could happen. The Blessed Mother predicted the short end to World War I. She predicted the greater war yet to come, World War II. She talked about a concerted attack upon the church and specifically on the Pope. But she also gave the children a plan on what they could do to stop all this from happening. And that was to pray the rosary daily and to offer your sacrifices for the salvation of the world. How many of you have a parent or grandparent that used to say to you when you were suffering something, offer it up, right? I mean, we forgot what that means. We hate to suffer anything, you know? Stand in front of the microwave saying, hurry up, this thing's taking forever. And we don't have that culture anymore of offering up sacrifices, no matter how small they might be, for a greater good. Rather than getting upset with people around us, we could be offering up. We lose the opportunity to make that a sacrifice by offering it up. And so when the Blessed Mother appeared, she also warned about Russia, that unless Russia converted, and that we could convert Russia by praying the rosary, but that we could, that unless Russia converted, she would spread her errors throughout the world. And shortly after the apparition, there was a revolution in Russia, and communism began to spread. You think of all the fighting between John Paul II, the people of Poland, with communism, and how they fought that with prayer and the rosary. And we look at how successful John Paul II was, although he suffered much. And, you know, of all the countries I've visited, I find Catholic Poland to me to be one of the most inspiring, to see how strong Catholic faith is there and ingrained in the culture of the people. When we think about God giving us the tools, you know, it's very simple. I think it was G.K. Chesterton who said that men long for simplicity, but they gravitate and run towards the complex, right? We always look for the complicated way of doing things. And God gave us the simple way, and simple way is through prayer and penance. You know, somebody was telling me the other day, Father, if you really want to lose weight, you need to stop eating, just eat nothing but boiled potatoes. You'll lose weight. And I'm thinking, hey, this could work, you know. You know, we're willing to do all these different things to get what we want, but repeatedly we're told by God about prayer and penance. You know, just not too long ago we had the Divine Mercy Sisters here, and the promise that Jesus gave in praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, that he would answer those prayers. And we have the promise of Our Lady with the rosary. And so we have a very simple plan. What's required is our faith and our trust in God and in God's mercy. I want to read to you a quotation from Sister Lucia. Now, Sister Lucia was 10 years old when the apparitions happened, and she was kind of the leader of the group because she was the oldest. She lived very long life. So the apparitions happened in 1917. She was already 10 years old. She only recently passed away in 2005. That was the reason why she wasn't beatified yesterday with Jacinta and Francisco. And so she passed away in 2005, but listen to what she said. The Most Holy Virgin in these last times in which we live has given a new efficacy to the recitation of the rosary to such an extent that there is no problem, no matter how difficult it is, whether a temporal or a spiritual, in the personal life of each one of us, our families of the world, or of religious communities, or even of the lives of people and nations, that cannot be solved with the rosary. There's no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult it is, that we cannot resolve by the prayer of the Holy Rosary. With the Holy Rosary, we will save ourselves, we will sanctify ourselves, we will console our Lord, and obtain salvation of many souls. It's simple. Praying the rosary takes you, what, 15 minutes? We could do that. And if we can change our world and change our lives and our families, how much simpler can that be? And I'll tell you, God always answers prayers. I like to tell the children sometimes, you know, when I was in high school, I wanted a few things that maybe I shouldn't have wanted, but I'll share it with you. So I prayed that I would have a really nice car, like a Porsche or a Ferrari. I wanted a really fast car and a supermodel for a girlfriend. And I was actually praying for that. I probably shouldn't have. But you know what? God answered that prayer. I'm telling you, God answered that prayer. You know, there's nothing that can't be resolved without prayer. Now, I'll tell you, though, ahead of time, that answering your prayer may not always be the answer that you expected, right? God always answers prayers. You know, sometimes I've heard it said, and I love the quotation, there's no such thing as a stupid question, only a stupid answer, right? So if somebody asks a question and it's really a bad question, I can frame the answer in a way that makes them look brilliant. And so the same is with prayer. There's no stupid prayer. God will take that prayer and answer it in a way far better than you could possibly have imagined. Prayer not only can bring about a favor from God, but can also change your heart. And what I was praying for, although I wouldn't have said it that way, I was praying for happiness. Well, God answered that prayer far better, because if my happiness was dependent on another person and a car, those things can be lost and broken. And happiness without them is much more freeing. And I'll tell you, I still think I'm the happiest priest that I know. And so God answered that prayer. And so don't ever discount the power of prayer. It's what Our Lady is encouraging us to do, is asking for us to do, is to pray the rosary daily, to offer up your sacrifices each day for the conversion of the world.